Hi, welcome to WebCamps TV. I'm your host, Brady Gaster, and today we are going to continue our week of WebMatrix series, and we've got Justin Beckwith and Vishal Joshi with us again today. And today we're going to be talking about ASP.NET web pages and how WebMatrix can support that. So Justin, you want to teach us?
Sure, absolutely. So the last time we took a look at WebMatrix, we created a site using Node.js, but today we're going to use this using ASP.NET. To get started, we have a list of built-in templates like you guys have seen a couple of times. We mentioned we have ASP.NET, PHP, Node. Today we're going to focus on ASP.NET, the classic Microsoft server-side technology. And if you look in the list of templates, we kind of have a range here. We have things go from empty site, which is just kind of, getting started. There's not much in there, towards a fully built application with things like Bakery and Photo Gallery. They kind of give you an example of best practices of a way to build these applications.
And, Bakery and Photo Gallery were those as templates which we had from V1 onwards. Nice. This time we added starter site. And since the very beginning of web pages, since the time we formed it, what is important to note is that we focused on getting web pages created at the same time as WebMatrix to introduce it in a way that it is a fast and easy to use language, at the same time super powerful, and focused on web. Like, we basically had noticed that many things were not as focused on web as we wanted, like simple things around social integration, photo uploads, or file uploads, updating videos and stuff like that. Recaptcha, all these things which are regularly required for web applications, was just difficult. And with web pages, we basically focused on trying to make all of those things super easy.
Excellent.
Like, and that these all templates kind of like demonstrate all those capabilities. Starter template is new one in the series, which actually demonstrates some more awesome new web pages 2 capabilities, and maybe we can create the template and walk people around on what that does.
Sure. So, the cool thing about the starter site that we have included is it's got an example of using Twitter, Facebook, Windows Live authentication right out of the box, along with kind of, the built-in stuff that you use when you typically build these sites, jQuery, Modernizer, it's a good boilerplate for getting started.
Excellent.
So I'm just going to go ahead and name this site. At this point, we're actually going to go down. We're going to NuGet install all the packages that are included by default. It's using the same packages that you get from inside of Visual Studio, actually, inside with ASP.NET.
What was nice part about it is if you notice that we were getting NuGet on the fly. Mm-hmm. So, we have tried to keep WebMatrix super lightweight as much as possible. And so, like, all these templates now basically say, okay, I have a dependency. I'm going to go fetch that on the fly. And that's how you basically get NuGet. We did similar kind of work in Visual Studio for web pages, the starter template as well, which is shared across both of the pages.
Cool. Good stuff. Right. So what kind of a site are we going to build today?
Well, first, before we even get into that, I just kind of want to run this and step through each of the individual pieces that's in the template before we build more things.
The idea is that so that people can actually see what comes out of the box and just get a flavor of it, and then we'll basically get into what can we make out of it.
Right.
So the template out of the box, we have an example of your basic home page. We show an example of doing routing. If you look inside of the URL here, you can see that there's no .cshtml, no ASPX. We kind of just have built-in code that does routing for you. We have an example of using a couple of different layouts, using the master page kind of architecture that's built into web pages. And then the part that I'm the most excited about that's included in the template is logins using OAuth. So you see here there's a little section that says use another service to log in. And we have a guide that outlines all the steps you need to take to log in with one of those services. Wow. But today we're actually going to do that.
That's cool.
Cool. And what are we going to do that with? Twitter?
Any
other kind of providers?
Sure, yeah. We're going to use Twitter today because it's kind of the easiest one to get up and started with.
And if you go and look at the pages, the structure of the site inside WebMatrix, it is worthwhile to just note that there are all these things, which is like site layout.cshtml, which controls the layout, and those about, contact, those all are individual pages in itself. The account section is where actually all the login code resides.
Right.
So we are going to look at all those things, which we will go through as we go through the example anyways. But let's probably talk about what is it that we are going to make out of this site. So Justin, like, what is the plan of the demo?
Sure. So one of the things I like to build to kind of show off the features of web pages is a photo sharing site. Hmm. So I want to build something where users can easily upload images, just drag images from the file system right into the web page. upload those into the cloud because we don't want to have to store them locally and worry about disk space and that kind of stuff. And then give a method by which we can, you know, share those images out with the rest of the world. So automatic updating with other pages and mobile devices and all of that stuff in about, you know, 15, 20 minutes.
Nice. I hear there are some pretty successful sites out there that do this sort of thing.
Yeah. I think one of them may have sold recently.
Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah. Maybe this one will.
Well, this is way more. It's not that complicated, but it's super simple. The idea is to demonstrate a lot of, like, HTML5 capabilities dragging into the browser, or capabilities around Twitter authentication, or capabilities around using databases, and like using storages inside Azure, pushing site to Azure, using cool technologies like SignalR to update your browser from the server, all those kind of awesomeness. So.
Okay. So let's get started. The page that I have open right now is called Site Layout. When you're building an ASP.NET web pages app, this is kind of like your master page if you used a lot of ASP.NET web forms. This is going to drive all the default layout for all of our sites. And you can see here, as I mentioned, we have links to jQuery, jQuery UI, Modernizer. We do nice little things like setting the meta viewport and tags so that when you render on a mobile device, you know, this is going to work right out of the box. And if you go down through the code, because of the type of site we're building, you can see here we have the nav element. So this is all HTML5 and CSS3 ready out of the box. We're kind of building a single page app with this photo uploading site. So I'm actually going to go ahead and just get rid of the nav section, and because we don't even need it. And then as we kind of go down through, you can see when you see that big blue block that was rendered at the top of some pages, that was this featured area. So we show an example of like a layout that only exists in a couple of pages. And then just the main section that renders out the body of all the individual parts of the site.
Gotcha.
So to kind of go along with that, the default page that we were looking at, we can see this is an example of using, this is just plain Razor. This is the same Razor syntax that you would see inside of ASP.NET MVC. Mm-hmm. And we do things like define that featured section, what's going to show up in that large blue block, and then just kind of the layout for the rest of the page.
So just in one question, one point to note over there is that if you go back to site-layout.cshtml, there you would basically see that we call out that section featured required equals to false, right? So which this is what actually like tells Razor to say, hey, this section is not really required everywhere, but if it is required, render it in this place.
Gotcha.
That's what the default.cshtml actually is doing.
Awesome. Yeah. So you don't have to put it everywhere.
Right. It's like some pages do not really require to put that section.
Nice.
Right?
So, I mean, if we're going to get started letting people upload images to the site, we probably don't want to let just anybody do that. So this is kind of a good case where we really want users to log in with Twitter before they start uploading images. So let's get started with that. I mean, we saw kind of a message in there that was explaining how to enable OAuth, but I didn't really follow that link, and I just kind of want to search through the site and look for anywhere where Twitter is going to be referenced. So one of the new things we have in V2 that we didn't have in V1 is the ability to search all the files in the site. And we're just going to kind of go down through and make sure that we modify all the parts of code that need to be modified. So this appstart.cshtml page, kind of along with site layout, this is one of the important concepts inside of web pages. It basically just gives you a block of code that's going to execute whenever your application boots up and starts. So every time it starts, this is going to get run for kind of run once type operations.
Is that something that you put into every one of the templates that comes with WebMatrix?
Yeah. Cool.
Yes.
And this would, ideally, like, we would do it now once your site is running. This is not going to run. The code is not going to run. And also one thing to note is that if your files start with underscore, in this situation, the underscore app start and underscore site layout, those files Razor will not render. So no one can directly request for those files.
Good to know.
Yeah. So if we're going to enable Twitter authentication, I mean, we kind of see we have this code block built in. Two of the pieces of information it's going to need is a key and a secret. And these are both things that we get from the Twitter website. And I mean, as it would turn out, that's actually so easy that we can just do it right now. And we can show an example of building that.
So this Twitter actually requires, any of the OAuth stuff requires a callback URL.
Right.
And in our situation, because we are working on localhost, we want to make sure that we get the localhost URL, which is why Justin just copied the port number.
Gotcha.
And we're going to paste it in Twitter to in the Twitter app to basically get that thing.
Makes sense.
So,
not that I haven't done this before.
There.
Yes. Now, hopefully, you get a nice and easy CAPTCHA.
See that CAPTCHA thing which you see everywhere?
Right.
That is actually just a small little helper in web pages. And you can say reCAPTCHA and give your key, and then you have CAPTCHA.
Fantastic.
Okay, so two of the things that we got from that process, we got the key, so we're just going to go ahead and copy this, go back to Web Matrix and put that in here, and we got a secret, so we're just going to copy that, paste it in here, and we kind of have the first set of steps towards getting Twitter built into the site. So the other places Vishal was mentioning that we need to go edit is the actual login page. This is where instead of that block that explained what to go do, we just want to show a button that says, you know, login with Twitter. And we're going to go down here. We're going to get rid of that piece of text that said, you know, that had the descriptions. And then we're just going to go ahead and pick this text and uncomment that. Today, we're not going to do Facebook, and we're not going to do Windows Live. We're just going to keep it to Twitter. All right. So that's actually pretty much it. Now when we refresh this page, if everything came together, we've got a button that says login with Twitter. You click on that, it's going to ask me to approve it. I'm going to sign in with my account. And, you know, it's going to create a record for the site. And that's it. We just logged in with Twitter.
Now, what do you have to say about that?
That's sick.
Yeah.
That is awesome. I've worked on projects prior to working here that people would work for weeks to get Twitter authentication integrated. This is great work.
Right. So and we never had to touch an assembly named OAuth. We never had to...
Right.
Yeah.
Just did find in files and
that's the whole idea. That and also we have the same thing for as you saw Facebook and for Windows Live. So like you know all of that authentication like that. And that's the whole concept behind web pages, web matrix. That it's designed for the web. We want things related to web happen so fast.
Right.
So
I want to get rocking and rolling in no time.
Right.
So you said that the code for Facebook and for Windows Live. Is that also when the app starts, so I could go in and just change it out?
We actually just deleted the section for the other services, but all you had to really do is to just come down, uncomment that, and put your consumer key secret. Like some people call it different, like Facebook doesn't call it the same thing as it says app secret or something like that. But nevertheless, the OAuth concept being the same, you can use that for any of
It's pretty much that easy to plug any of the providers in.
That's wonderful.
It's the same set of steps.
It's wonderful. Good job.
Great. So we logged into the site. Now that we know that the user is authenticated, now's the part where we want to let them actually upload a couple of files.
Okay.
So to take advantage of that, I figure instead of just the boring, file upload button, we want to, this is HTML5, this is hot, we want to do drag and drop file uploads. So to do that, we're going to take advantage of JavaScript and jQuery to kind of orchestrate that whole thing. So at this point, if you wanted to just include your script tag inside of here, you could do that, but, maybe I'm an old romantic, but I like to have a separate JavaScript file. So I'm just going to create a JavaScript file underneath of our scripts folder, and we're going to call this Photo Cloud. So to get started, like I mentioned, I want to take advantage of jQuery. We could just start typing, but one of the things that we include is IntelliSense for kind of external JavaScript files, one of which is a special file we have that gives you IntelliSense for jQuery. So now if I go ahead and save this, I include that path. When I type dollar, you can see it's going to pop up full IntelliSense for doing anything that we want to do with jQuery. So if you're going to be doing AJAX and you want to know what the parameters for that are going to look like, IntelliSense, the whole bit.
So the triple slash reference syntax on the top, that's what we used even in VS, even over here, just to tell the IntelliSense engine that that's the file that you want to pick up. And VS Doc is the annotated jQuery file for Visual Studio documentation, which is where VS Doc came from. That's the same thing which is used in Web Matrix. And now we can, we basically have these things uploaded in jQuery, and you can download it from jQuery itself.
Makes it a lot easier. Yeah. Having to memorize all those methods.
Right.
I always used to go to jQuery site and read through and do this, and now it's that easy.
You just rock it.
So to get started, we're just going to do your basic kind of closure and say that, when the page loads, we're going to execute this code. And we're actually going to get a reference to the entire body element and use that as the drop target for dragging our files, because we don't need to do anything much fancier than that. You can see, again, full IntelliSense. We're going to use bind, and we're going to bind the drop event. Now, one of the things you might be noticing as I'm typing, we're doing, again, those little things, auto-completion of quotes, mm-hmm. auto-completion of brackets, type-through, brace highlighting, parenthesis highlighting, just a bunch of things that we're hoping is going to make it, you know, easier, a little bit more fluid to type JavaScript inside of the editor. Great. So, I mean, this is basically going to say when the user drops something on there, and this is where we're going to have a little bit of code that basically says, you know, enumerate the files. Ooh, if I could spell. And then we're going to do something with Ajax to kind of post that file up to the server. So instead of me standing here and typing all of that out, I don't want to bore everybody. I just have a little snippet, which is, you know, as we mentioned, an extension to the product that's built in. And the code here is going to, you know, grab the event, enumerate the list of files that are available, and then do an Ajax post back to the current page, default.cshtml, with the images that the user dropped. And now instead
Sounds
of doing
fun.
This, I like to just do a little, I like to know what's going on, so we're going to go ahead and do a quick log. So before we get moving any further, and I always forget this step, we now need to link the JavaScript up into our default page. So full IntelliSense inside of the HTML editor. And one of the new things that you have inside of web pages is now the ability to use tilde slash inside of non-server-side tags. If you're coming from a web forms background, you kind of abused the tilde slash syntax for your server tags. We had to use URL content for the longest time. So, you know, now tilde slash is back.
So that'll get interpreted at runtime.
At runtime is the root of the site, which I sincerely feel that something like that, if it was handled by everyone, it would be really, really nice. But otherwise, you would have to like do it. But at least now in web pages,
yep.
You do.
Mm-hmm.
So let's before we move any further, we're still going to need to handle this on the server side when the user uploads the image. But I like to kind of check things as I go and make sure everything's working as expected. So now when we're going to refresh the page, kind of pick up the new JavaScript, and then we're actually going to take, I have some images over here, and we're going to upload, drag an image out. And good, we got some feedback inside of the console. So we see that we got a message saying we're uploading the file to the server. And then this here is actually the response that gets passed back via jQuery, which is exactly what we expect, right? We just did a post and it returned the entire HTML page. So this means that, you know, so far everything's working kind of as we would expect it to, right?
But we would like the pictures to show
right.
on this particular thing.
Of course. Picky.
Yeah.
We just want to save them. Right.
Yeah, we do. So if we want to save those, this is where, you know, we're posting this page. We're now going to use C# syntax inside of our view to kind of pick that up and do something with it. So what we're going to do is first we want to kind of check to make sure, you know, is this a post back? Because we're sending an HTTP post with our Ajax call. We could do some better checks for this if you were building something for real. And we kind of want to make sure that somebody is actually logged in. We did that work with Twitter, so we're going to use the web security helper to make sure that the user is authenticated into the site.
You see the seamless integration?
Yeah.
Like now, even though you're logged in with Twitter, it's going to say that you're authenticated. Right?
So it's like personalization membership, but across the board for all the different
exactly.
OAuth providers. That's excellent.
So now we really want to get a reference to that image. So this is where we can use the web image helper to actually go out and say, just get that image from the request. So we're trying to take things that were normally, like this would involve, you know, a couple of lines of code, some digging around in IntelliSense to figure this out. We're just trying to make it as easy as possible to these common kind of tasks. If you want to do cool things with the image, you know, you can even do things like watermarking it, cropping, flipping, you know, just all kinds of neat stuff.
If you want thumbnails, then you do resizing and whatnot. But like, again, this is an example of why it is designed for web scenarios, right?
Now, is that in a NuGet package, or does that come with the WebMatrix ASP.NET?
It is a NuGet package, but it comes with the template.
Awesome.
Yes.
So, cool.
So updates to these will periodically come out, and you can keep in sync.
Those are pretty convenient methods.
Yep. So now we have a reference to our image. We need to actually save it somewhere. Does anybody have an idea of where we could save an image?
Azure Blob Storage.
Absolutely. We don't want to use something local. We want this to scale. So if we take up, you know, if this thing hits big and we're taking up terabytes of storage, you know, we want to take advantage of the cloud. So to use Azure Blob Storage, we're actually going to install something from the install package from the NuGet gallery,
which is now integrated inside WebMatrix, and you don't really have to go to nuget.org and search, but instead just see it right over here, all search functionality. We've talked about this several number of times, that we basically expanded the scope of NuGet Gallery from fixed number of packages to all the packages, and now you can see that Azure Storage, nice. Something which you can find right away.
Sure. So this is the same NuGet package that you would use inside of Visual Studio if you were building a full-fledged ASP.NET or even like a Windows Service app that was taking advantage of storage. Mm-hmm. And it's actually the same bits. You can use all the same, the full power of however many thousands of packages that are in NuGet are completely available to web pages as well.
Fantastic.
Okay. So instead of, I could type this code all out here, but kind of the way that I separated things into a script, I kind of like a separation of concerns a bit. I'm actually going to create a C# class to handle this, though you don't have to. You could do it inside of this block. But this is just an example. Again, you could do, just like you would do in normal ASP.NET, you can do a lot of the same things. We try to make it so that it can scale up and down based on your level of expertise.
Gotcha.
So we're going to create a storage helper really quick for this. And then, just in the interest of time, I'm going to go ahead and drop this snippet, where essentially this code is going to go out. It's going to log us into our storage account. Don't look at my key. And we're going to go out, get a reference to a blob client, and then make sure that a container we have created just for our photos already exists. So this is just kind of like a quick little helper to keep some code out of our main page.
Pretty easy.
Yep. So now when I'm ready, I can get a reference to that container. And we're going to use our helper, so all of our local C# classes are going to show up in IntelliSense, as you would expect. And we're going to get a reference to our container. Then for each of our images we want to upload them, we kind of want to have a unique identifier for that image. We can't really rely on the file name, because that could be different. So we're just going to use standard .NET methods, and we're going to say, just like I would inside of ASP.NET, GUID.NuGUID to get an identifier. And then finally, we're going to take and we're going to use that container to get a blob reference using the ID that we just created.
Gotcha.
So now we have a blob, we have a container. The last few steps are we just need to upload it. And this is where things get kind of silly easy. We can just say blob.upload the byte array. And as fate would have it, our image object that we get back from the helper just has a get bytes method. And we're done. So now we've uploaded up to the store just for kind of like testing purposes, because we don't want to get that full HTTP response back from our AJAX call. I'm going to go ahead and, this feels kind of old school, but response.write out the ID from the, or the URI from our blob storage so that we can get a direct reference to it.
Probably have to do absolute URI on the end of that.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
URI.
Oh.
There you go.
Thank you.
No problem. I've been bitten by that one numerous times.
No. All right, so now the file's going to get uploaded. We're going to get the container. It should get saved up the blob, and we should get the URI back. So like I talked about before with testing this as we go, let's try it all out and make sure that it works like we expect. I'm going to go ahead and refresh the page, go back to our list of images. We'll drag it out. We see that we're uploading the file to the server, and we get a URL that looks like it's probably an image that comes back from blob.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Cool.
So I guess the next step is we should probably show this on the page,
yeah,
right?
Probably. Yeah.
All right. So what I want to do is I want to show these images, and we want to show them in descending order of date. So as someone uploads a new image, we want them to appear in that order. We want to know who uploaded them. To do that kind of thing, right now we don't have that information in blob. So this is where you could use table storage, but I kind of want to show off some of the local database advantages we have inside of WebMatrix and how to use that stuff. So instead of just uploading the blob, we're actually going to create a record inside of a database.
We've talked about the database workspace and the SDF file, which is, again, a SQL compact database.
Right.
This was also something which we came out with the entire web stack, as we called it, that you have a database now, which is also lightweight designed for web.
Nice.
And the database workspace is completely new. As you can see, what Justin is doing right now is using the new design tools to create the blob ID and the user ID and date created.
Right. So, I mean, that's pretty much it. We can save the table. If you're into the whole referential integrity thing, we can create a foreign key.
This is also new, by the way, in Tomb, that you basically can create relationships right inside.
Yeah, so we know the user ID, so and we actually have a local table for that, so we're just going to go ahead and take advantage of it.
So no more angry DBAs.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, who needs a DBA? It's just an SDF file, right?
Sure. Don't say that. This is SDF, though. It's right, like if you were using SQL Express, which we also support, and right. full SQL Server, then you could still go ahead and do similar stuff inside the DB manager.
Cool.
And in that case, you could generate scripts out of this and then hand it over to your DBA.
And then they get that.
But SDF, as you know, will just go with the web in the web itself.
It'll just get deployed.
Yeah, and if this thing hits and you need to convert it to SQL Azure, you can do that.
You can do that.
So let's go back to the files workspace. We have our database, we have our table. Let's go ahead and get a reference to it. So this is where normally if you were doing standard ASP.NET, you'd create a SQL connection, create a command, pass the connection to the command and the stored procedure, and you would use a data reader, all that stuff. Well,
or pick an ORM.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. We're a little bit fine. You said it. That's it.
Okay.
We now have a connection to our database. It's named starter site, no connection strings, no web.configs. It's all just going to work.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're ready to actually do our insert statement, I'm just going to go ahead and say db.execute, and then it's standard SQL. We're going to go into our picks table, pass in our blob ID, our user ID. The date is automatically generated for us. And we're going to use parameterized SQL because we don't want any little Bobby tables screwing up our system.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead and use ID, and for the user ID, we have that via the web security helper, which is going to give us our current user ID. There we go.
Excellent.
So now we've inserted a record into the database, and now what we need to do is, because we want these pictures to show up, we're actually going to read them back out. So just because we're reusing some of this code, I'm going to go ahead and move this up here. So we have our connection is always going to be available, our container is always going to be available. And now what we're going to do is we're just going to go ahead and query the database. So we're going to say our list of picks, and we're going to use the database and execute a query. And as we mentioned before, we want to keep the keep them ordered nicely. So we're going to order by that date created descending. So all of this should look familiar if you've done it. It actually has kind of like almost an ASP3
mm-hmm.
kind of feel to
mm-hmm.
it, but I kind of appreciate that simplicity coming back,
cool.
along with all the helpers. That stuff didn't exist 10 years ago, obviously.
Sure.
All right, so we have the pictures that came out of the database. Now let's actually go ahead and render it. Because of the way we're building our page, we actually don't need any of that other content. Users are just dragging into the body. So instead of showing that body, let's actually go ahead and render out the list of pictures. So I'm going to create a little helper div here, and we'll just call it pics. And now we're going to use Razor syntax to go ahead and render out each of our images. So this should look very familiar.
Mm-hmm. Pretty normal syntax.
Great. So we're just going to iterate over that list of pictures, and then we can do just like standard razor and image tag. And I always kind of mess this thing up when I try to type it, so I'm going to cheat and use a snippet. So great. You see here, all we're doing is we're getting that ID that came in the record back. We're going to use our container to get a reference to the blob, and then we're going to render out the URI. All right. So now if we come back and we're going to test again, I'm going to go ahead and get my dev tools out of the way. We refresh, we shouldn't see any of this content. We should see no content because we haven't uploaded anything yet.
Right.
But we should be able to go ahead and drag one of these images out. Maybe we will just make sure we see that it uploaded. And now when I refresh the page, it's going to render this enormous picture of a cat.
Nice.
That is cool.
That is cool.
But the thing is that, we actually landed up refreshing the page. And not having to refresh the page would be pretty cool.
That would be cool.
Sure. So there happens to be a NuGet package that lets you do that kind of thing. Have you guys ever heard of SignalR?
Yeah. I have.
Totally.
As we mentioned before with NuGet, any of the tools you have available to you in Visual Studio and with full ASP.NET, they're available to you with web pages as well. So if you know what you're looking for, you can kind of pick and choose and go build that. To get started, before we do that, that is an enormous cat picture. So I'm going to go ahead and scale this down with a little bit of CSS. the CSS editor works just as well inside of here as it does inside of a standard CSS file. And we're just going to go ahead and create a class. So we're going to take that pix div, and we're going to take all those images, make them look kind of nice. So we'll float this thing, and then we'll set a width and height. All right, so now we're ready to go and do some SignalR magic. Again, back to the NuGet.
Mm-hmm. And you know, you obviously will get all this IntelliSense and code completion on a separate file if you had a CSS file created separately.
Right.
This was just to show that how the editor actually scales across, like, inline, right? It means many times we talk about how complicated an HTML editor typically is because it has to like show JavaScript at the right time and CSS at the right time and so on.
Right.
But here is SignalR, one of our favorite stuff. We love working with the guys who created it.
It's my favorite demo NuGet package.
It's your favorite demo NuGet package?
Yes.
SignalR? I think it's my favorite NuGet package, period.
So this is going out and it's downloading all of the dependent assemblies and DLLs and everything into our bin. And now we have SignalR available. So just like I created a class over here for the storage helper, I'm going to go ahead and do the same thing. There are kind of two ways you can use SignalR. You can use a persistent connection model, which is a little bit lower level, or you can use a hub. Mm-hmm. I like the higher order of abstractions, so I'm going to go ahead and use a hub. And we're just going to call this our pick hub. Great. So now I'm just going to rename this. We're going to import the SignalR libraries. So this whole experience should feel, you know, similar. SignalR, and as I mentioned, we're using hubs. So IntelliSense inside the C# editor. Our pick hub is going to inherit from hub. Mm-hmm. And we don't need a constructor. So now all we're going to do is we're going to define a function here that our JavaScript is actually going to be able to invoke from the client. So when I create a public function, and let's say we're going to call it update, and it's going to take a URL. This is something that you're going to see when we write our JavaScript code. It's actually going to get invoked from JavaScript. And then from the other direction, now the server side can actually invoke functions in JavaScript. So going the other way, we're going to say, hey, all of the clients that are currently connected to our application, not just the one that sent the message, we want to use, you know, dynamic object, and we're going to create a function called addImage, and it's going to take that URL that got passed in. So this is our way of saying that when somebody uploads an image, we're going to call this, and everybody that's currently connected to the site is going to get a notification that adding that image happened.
Right.
So what is that? That's three lines of code.
So if I were sitting on the site and you uploaded an image, I'll see your image just pop in. Yep.
If this all works.
Theoretically.
Yes. Oh. If we get all of this right, it will.
Cool.
So let's go ahead and add the JavaScript that enables that that stuff as well. So we're going to come back into our JavaScript file, give ourselves a little bit of room. And I'm just going to go ahead and grab a snippet. It's essentially going to create a connection to our hub. And then remember how we had that we called clients.addImage?
Right.
Well, now we're going to go ahead and invoke that. So when the server calls this function, really what we're going to do here is we're going to go out, we're going to get that list of picks, and we want the nth child. We're going to take the last one. So in this case, we were rendering 6. And we're going to go ahead and remove the last child. You saw again jQuery IntelliSense. And then we're going to take our list of pictures. Oop, I forgot my hash up there.
And you've got remote instead of remove.
Oh, thank you.
No problem.
Oop. And now we're going to take our list, and we want to have date descending, so we're going to prepend a new image tag. Now, I know what a lot of you are probably thinking, why didn't you use some sort of template engine for this? But this is a small example,
yeah.
So I don't feel terribly bad just typing this one out. And for this, we're going to grab that URL that came back. And we're set. So kind of the last step to bind this all together, this is the function the server's going to call. We need to have our client-side code, instead of this console.log, actually go out and invoke the function on the server. So in this case, just to kind of refresh your memory, when we uploaded a file, this does the HTTP post via AJAX. When that's successful, that's when we're going to kind of go out and say, you know, on our pick hub, go ahead and invoke that update method, passing in the, if you remember, the response is just the URL, so we're going to pass that URL up.
Excellent.
Right. So that's a couple of different moving pieces. Let's see if it all comes together here. So just to be safe, I'll turn on my dev tools. I always like to keep that open. So when we refresh the page, we should see the styling come into effect. We should see our cat being less enormous, hopefully about 300 by 300. Oh, there we go. Can't read a property. Oh,
you didn't reference the...
I didn't make the reference. Yeah. This is why we use developer tools. Mm-hmm. And as I mentioned, I always forget to add my script tags earlier mm-hmm. earlier in the show. So let's go ahead and just in the interest of keeping all of this cleaned up, I'm going to move that to the bottom as well. And yeah, we're going to add our tags to use SignalR. Good catch. Oop, not that one. There we go. So yeah, what we have here is a script tag to actually reference the SignalR library. Mm-hmm. You can see here when we did the just to kind of show, when we did that NuGet install, it dropped those scripts for us inside the scripts directory, and then a reference out to the dynamically generated hubs reference. It's kind of some that's sort of the secret sauce that makes SignalR work, right? Mm-hmm. So great, good catch. Now when we refresh, hopefully we're not going to see any nasty errors pop up in our console. Great. So now the moment of truth, right? If we drag an image out here into the body, it's going to upload. We should see a message that it hits blob store. And there we go. It automatically got pulled up.
Now open a second browser with that URL and we'll see how that works.
How did I know that that was going to be the question that was coming next? So instead of showing that, one of the other cool things that you can do from inside of WebMatrix, I've just been clicking this run button, but if you click the little down arrow here, it's actually going to enumerate all of the browsers installed on your machine. And so you can actually go in and just click Opera, because I'm a glutton for punishment. And we can see so far, you know, it looks good. Now let's bring our images list back up, and I'm going to drag this over into Chrome. And with a little bit of luck,
boom.
Magic.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Total magic, right?
Fantastic.
Okay, so we uploaded it, and it looks great on the desktop, but you know, we're going to build the next big photo sharing site, and we want to go mobile with it, right?
Right.
So let's see what this looks like on a mobile device.
And we've shown you that we have the mobile emulator integration in there. So we're going to just launch the iPhone emulator. This is again created by our partners in Electric Plum, which basically now hook in with WebMatrix as an extension.
Gotcha.
Similarly, we have Windows Phone 7 emulator also. Mm-hmm. This one, by the way, is just basically launching WebKit inside the iPhone Chrome, opposed to... the Windows Phone emulator is a full-fledged one.
Gotcha.
Great. So if we drag our image out into Chrome, it's going to drop, and then automatically we're going to see it update on the mobile device.
And your webcam, Stevie.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah. That's my logo.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
It's awesome. So this is all well and good, and now we've got images, and we know we're going to get all kinds of traffic, so we probably want to deploy this to the cloud.
Right. So we can do that. That happens to be something we do well. I've already went ahead and created a site out on Azure. I've created an Azure website. And so I'm just going to go and click this publish button. When you create one of those sites, they're going to give you a publish settings file. And we've seen examples of this a couple times if you've been watching all week. Mm-hmm. And I've got a Webcamp Fun here. And we're going to go ahead. I've got a couple of them, so I need to make sure I pick the right one. We'll pick this one here. Yeah. There we go, WebCampNet. And you're also going to notice the starter site database. We don't need a remote connection string because it's just a file-based database. Again, we validated. We know it's all going to work. Click Save. I don't think we need to do publish compatibility today.
I think we're good.
Yeah, I think we'll be set. We know if you're going to Azure, it's going to be fine. And let's go ahead and publish the site.
And so now the publishing is happening. So by the way, we've talked about in several different shows, you can go to the Azure portal, you have a free account mm-hmm. where you could actually get a bunch of websites. Just go create a quick website, and then there on the quick start tab, you're gonna have download publish profile. That got downloaded, that's what is inserted over here. And
right. So now with a little bit of luck out to Azure.
It'll go.
Yeah. This is spinning up for the first time.
Right.
So it created, it has a site just created, your app pool is just created, your files has got published, and since it was in blob storage, it just showed up right over here.
Yep.
Right.
We didn't have to copy any of our files around from local disk or anything crazy like that. Just worked.
And they'll be there forever.
Yep.
That's good stuff. That's good stuff. Well, I love this. Do you have anything else you want to throw out there? So this is sort of an introduction into using web pages with WebMatrix.
Yes.
You've shown a bunch of neat tricks today. I've really enjoyed this.
Yeah, I mean, for people who are looking, we would love for we will also go ahead and like share probably the zip of this code at the bottom of the probably the video link somewhere so that people can access this and play around with that.
I thought this was going to be our new side business.
Okay. Awesome. But yeah, cool. I think that we're super excited about the ASP.NET web pages capabilities and how simpler we can probably make web programming.
Oh, it's easy.
I hope that you all feel the same way.
I do. Well, thank you so much for coming out today. And again,
thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks a lot for coming out and watching the fourth installment of the Week of Web Matrix. We'll have a few more, I think, coming up.
Yeah.
So just stay tuned. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Take care. Thank you.